podcast, we are joined by Fanele Msimango. She has recently completed her master's degree in social science, focusing on public policy in South Africa. And she is also a monitoring, evaluation and learning intern at the Dumor Foundation in Durban. To start off, it's always a great first question. Just if you could tell us a little bit about your research journey and your career so far.
So in undergrad, I did a Bachelor of Social Science, majoring in politics and history. And then my honors focused in public policy. And then my master's was public policy. So my research for my master's is on policy coherence in South Africa. So it was a case study on the national housing policy. So it was a particular emphasis on the roles and responsibilities of provincial and local governments, as well as mechanisms that foster coherence in the implementation of national housing policy across provincial and local government. So it was along those lines. So in terms of my research journey, I think it's been fun. I enjoy research, so I enjoy writing and just nitpicking my brain. So I think it started a while ago. I struggle in making conversations, so I'm more able to articulate myself in writing. So I'm more, you can find me in places that I write more. So I think I'm just starting off like my writing research journey.
Yes, absolutely. It's so great when you find a passion and something that you're good at. And just kind of talking a little bit more about your master's, what inspired you to focus? And I know you said it was in your honours as well, but on public policy, what interested you about that? Or was it something that was chosen for you?
I actually can never answer this question. But my decision to sort of specialize in public policy stemmed from like a deep understanding of how government decisions are formulated, regulated, and implemented in practice. So I've always been fascinated by the intersection between political processes like institutional capacity and social outcomes. So this is basically all particularly in the context of South Africa, because I do live in South Africa, where like policy decisions have a direct impact on addressing inequality and basic services. So the interest that guided my master's research is very interesting, because my first concept note that I sent for my master's topic was around monitoring and evaluation, but I was looking at non-governmental organizations in the healthcare sector. It was like my supervisor was like, I picked you because I was very intrigued in the topic. But the topic didn't work out because of so many different factors, because it was going to be conflict of interest. I work in the NGO sector, and obviously I had a better chance of acing the topic. But the interest that guided my master's research, I examined policy coherence in South Africa. Because I was drawn to this topic, it offered an opportunity for me to explore how participatory forums shape the policy process and to assess public needs. So it also strengthened my commitment to evidence-based inclusive policymaking that bridges the gap between design and implementation. So that's one of the reasons why I chose it. I think I've always been a person that advocated for evidence-based policymaking around sustainable human settlements. So I think that was like the final touch of like, that is my topic.
And kind of diving a little bit more into that for people who haven't heard of it before or don't have a great understanding, how would you briefly explain policy coherence and why was it important in your case study?
So basically, there's no definite or universal definition of policy coherence. When I think about policy coherence, it's like something that's become an exceptional concept between public policy and governance discourse, particularly when you look at multi-level and international governance, as well as cross-sectoral strategies which are related to sustainable development, climate change. Actually, climate change is one of the most topics I love talking about, and environmental management. So when I define policy coherence and I put in like sort of a basic term, it basically refers to the alignment and consistency between different policies, strategies, and institutions which work together towards a common goal. In essence, it just means that government departments, sectors, and levels of governance work together in sort of a collaborative or coordinated way, rather than in isolation or at cross purposes. So in the context of my case study, of which was the national housing policy, policy coherence is something that is crucial, because housing delivery in South Africa usually depends on collaboration between multiple sectors, including land use planning, infrastructure development, finance, and social welfare. So when voices and actors are well aligned, it often leads to like good implementation challenges, good implementation. And then obviously there's like challenges along the way, which is like delays, duplication of efforts, and insufficient resources.
And speaking about obviously all those different role players in terms of policy coherence and specifically in housing, who are those main stakeholders in South Africa?
So there are various stakeholders involved in the implementation of housing. So each player, each person or each sort of institution plays a significant role in the policy implementation. Stakeholders involved in the policy are different levels of government. So we look at your national, provincial and local, other government departments also, which is like your housing, COCTA, private sector entities, your civil society organizations, your ward committees, financial industries, NGOs, councillors, traditional authorities, also like your quality assurers in building, because we're looking at housing. So you have developers, architects, and business sector. Communities also play a role, but they're actually a big bargaining role in terms of how policies are made. So just to sum up the main people, so the national government is responsible for policymaking, funding, legislation, and policy oversight regarding how sort of like stakeholders contribute to implementing in the policy. And then in terms of like provincial government, it's responsible for how the policy is adapted. So a national policy cannot just be adapted. It needs to be adapted to that provincial department, because every provincial government or provincial province has their own terrain. So like the climate in KZN is different from the climate in the Western Cape. So provincial government is responsible for policy adaptations, program management, resource allocation, and local government, which is the municipalities. And then local government is responsible for planning, project implementation, and service delivery.
And obviously with the national and local governments being two of the most important, in your case study, did you see that there was mostly alignment between those two levels of government? Or what were your findings on that?
So it actually goes that it's 50-50. So seeing that in each sphere of government has a specific role in the policy, coordination and between provincial and local government is done through different ways. Although the degree, so what I found that the degree of coherence actually varies depending on the context and effectiveness of the policy. So yeah, so I can't really say there is, but it actually varies in what aspect you're speaking to. But there is like sort of coherence in the National Housing Policy strategic objectives. That's one thing that I noted. I don't think there's a mismatch. It actually goes by 50-50 depending on the context that you're speaking at.
Okay. And obviously specifically in KZN, that was where your focus was. Did you find that connection between like national and local government? Was that a positive alignment that you saw? As you say, it can vary in different situations, but overall, what was your view of it?
So I looked at the KwaZulu-Natal Department of Human Settlement, which is the provincial government. And then I looked at Eteku Municipality, which took the role of the local government. So there is sort of a mismatch. Obviously, we're looking in the context of 2025. There's sort of like a lot of things that would hinder sort of the misalignment with the coherence. But if you look at provincial alone, they will obviously say that there is misalignment, but there are like sort of channels that are driving collaboration. But also if you look at local government, they are going to say that there is no misalignment, but there is like collaboration. But when you put the two together, there's sort of like gaps and inconsistencies and discrepancies that you actually do note. So I can't really say either or. I can just say 50-50.
Okay. And I know we've kind of spoken about it a little bit, but in terms of main factors that would promote good collaboration, what would some of those be?
So factors that I did note and that were like sort of common themes in promoting good collaboration between these two levels is that provincial governments have budget alignment. So if both provincial and local governments have good budget alignment, that's sort of one good factor. So ongoing capacity building and training for officials. That is one thing everyone spoke about. If both sort of these spheres of government had capacity building and training, they would not like work in silos either or. So clear and well-defined policy frameworks and guidelines, regular communication, stakeholder inclusion, and effective monitoring and evaluation, and access to reliable data and political alignment improve policy coherence. So those are one of the things that they know, so that they promote good collaborative between these governments.
And on the flip side of that, what are some of the barriers that hinder maybe some coherence, and specifically if there were any that you discovered?
So poor communication among stakeholders, unclear roles and responsibilities, political interference, and like frequent leadership changes. So like you have got your these new governments. So that actually is like sort of like the biggest barriers to policy coherence. Additionally, a lack of resources, especially in smaller municipalities, corruption and mismanagement, and urban-rural inequalities, and then bureaucratic silos and the burden of unfunded mandates. Yeah, those are one of the things that like came out as huge factors that hindered coherence.
But when you do look back at your findings and from your case study, what would you say are some of the key changes that would help to improve housing delivery and the policy coherence that goes with that in South Africa?
So I think I had like quite a few points that could sort of improve, or like key changes. So I think one of them was improve policy design and implementation. So if we improve coordination between national, provincial and local governments, that would ensure that coherent policy execution. So for this to happen, clear and well-defined roles and responsibilities and regular MEE processes are needed. And then another one was to increase funding and resource allocation. So I think if we have more adequate and equitable budget allocations, funding and resources for housing programs, I think these can be used effectively and fairly. Another one was to build capacity and at provincial and local governments. I think by upskilling personnel and enhancing technical expertise and improving like sort of your administrative systems for effective policy implementation and service delivery, that is like one recommendation I could say could work well. And then support inclusive and sustainable housing. Governments must prioritize the needs of like vulnerable individuals and groups. I think that is done, but it's not done like well. So those are one of like the key four recommendations that were my top four.
And then just with carrying on with your findings, how do you think that the findings from your research could help policymakers to improve collaboration between government?
So the findings from my research can help policymakers improve collaboration between provincial and local governments by making meaningful impact and contribution sort of to the existing knowledge of policy coherence. So particularly when you look at the context of human settlements in South Africa, I think that will make a good contribution. So it highlights the importance of alignment and coordination across government spheres and sort of like different sectors. So basically with this whole research and my entire topic, I aimed to support efforts towards like a more responsive and integrated and effective policy implementation. So I really do hope that the findings not only inform sort of like your academic discourse, but also it helps policymakers and other stakeholders build a more coherent and collaborative governance framework.
So good. Thank you. And maybe just two small questions. Is just if there's another student that is coming up and considering a similar research path or topic as you, is there any piece of advice that you would give to them?
I'd just say just do it. I think that is one advice that I give to people, is that just do it. Don't procrastinate. I'm one person that was so stuck on perfection and everything, and I was held back. So I think it got to a point where like just my supervisor was always like, just send it to me. I don't care how it looks, just send it to me. And I found that at the end, it actually was great. I was just procrastinating. But I would say for everyone that wants to take this route of research, just do it. I actually feel like people should do masters by research more and not masters by coursework, because you get a better understanding of research if you do full-on research. And so you will never struggle in your PhD if you do masters by research. My one thing is just do it. Don't hold back. Don't think about what if. Don't think about how old I'll be. You'll be 35 by the time you finish that degree. So it's fine. Just do it.
No, absolutely. So good. And then just lastly, some of the skills that you have developed through your research career and through your master's, have there been any standout skills that have then been beneficial in your professional career and now being at the Do More Foundation?
Yes, I read and analyze stuff a lot. So I'm able to see when something is not in place. I'm able to see if something's AI generated. Like, I just know. So I'm able to see the tone. I'm able to see the structure. Because obviously, like, all these ChatGPTs is not allowed in varsity. So it's like a real thing. So we literally need had to learn how to just write off our heads and sort of like learn academic work. So I think I learned research skills, policy analysis, literature review. So I think one of the skills that I've actually even got into I've held various roles in my professional career, but I think one that has stood out has been analysis, but not in the terms of policy analysis, but data analysis also, and data management, data integrity. Data integrity is one thing I hold up high. Yeah. So those are one of the top skills that I have, and I think they're still growing.
So wonderful. And you see that they actually complement each other. So all of your research experience and then professional experience now as well. And I really appreciate you being willing to talk about it. And it's a wonderful thing to kind of share that information and for people to understand a little bit more in that space of public policy and policy coherence.
Oh, thank you so much.